So, some of you know, I'm a pastor at an Anglican church out in Machozen, and I love it. I was just on holiday for 3 weeks, and I've come back for 2 weeks, and my heart is full. I'm glad for this vocation. But to me, one of the best parts of this pastoral vocation is getting to visit people in the parish. This past week, I had a wonderful visit with a couple named Bernie and Alice, a couple that have been part of St. Mary's for over 50 years. And just before we shared communion together, I read today's gospel text from Luke. Now, Bernie, as I was reading it, he chuckled a bit, which is kind of funny when you're reading the gospel. Sometimes it happens. But he was remembering their days of sheep farming. And so he told me that, and I was delighted to hear his stories, because as you can guess, I don't know a lot about sheep farming, and I love to hear people's stories. We talked about the origins of this thing called the Machozen Day Fair, which happened last week. It's a beautiful, beautiful event. It's a yearly event that is kind of the height of the Machozen social calendar. And we talked about his work in the early days as he served on the first Machozen Day Council, how the community came together for a lamb and salmon barbecue, being taught how to roast the lamb on an iron spit. Now, if you haven't seen anything like that before, I warn you, it is not for the vegetarians. It is gruesome. It will make you rethink eating meat. But it's sure delicious. He was telling me about how they learned about it from sheep farmers on Salt Spring and were given the irons, and how local commercial fishermen donated the salmon for the feast. It was, as it is today, an event of community groups coming together. I imagine just grateful to be living in a place like this on Vancouver Island, and just wanting to celebrate that with one another. Now, he didn't have any stories for me about the joys of finding lost sheep, but he did recall a 4-H trip to the PNE in Vancouver that he and Alice had made with a group of youngsters from Machozen. A few of them, he called them rapscallions. When it was time to return back to the bus after wandering the fairgrounds, feeling the kind of freedom that only a field trip to the big city can give a teenager, a few of them were nowhere to be found. They had neglected to come back to the flock at the agreed upon time. And so, much to his annoyance, Bernie had to venture out into the fairground in an attempt to round up the wayward youngsters, to get them all headed back on the ferry they had planned on catching and returning home. Now, he spotted one of the boys in the bleachers at the car rally, and as soon as the boy spotted him, he took off, probably hoping in vain to delay the precious getaway a little longer, who knows. But eventually, all of the youth remembered who they were and why they were there and where they were headed, and were rounded up and headed back to the ferry. Now, reflecting back on the story, it was funny to see the actual remembering of the annoyance on Bernie's face. But he smiled and he said, "It was all good." And Alice agreed. Sheep and shepherd, woman and coin, lost and found, sinner and sanctified. The parables in this week's Gospel of Luke continue to reveal God's nature to forgive and to restore God's people to God's self. Jesus challenges those that question his boundaries to consider what it means to be included in community, freed from dualistic thinking, and what it means to challenge and also uphold boundaries, and what he means as Jesus continues to describe beautiful paradox when it comes to the kingdom of God. God is like a woman who will turn her house upside down to find even just one coin that is, of course, already hers in the first place. God is like a shepherd who will search high and low for even just one sheep that is part of the flock. There are no bramble bushes, no deep ravines, no alleyways, no hidden corners or closets of dogma, discrimination, or discomfort into which God will not go to find those who are lost, even just one. In the parable, the woman rejoices at finding her one lost coin, and the joy can't be contained as she calls her friends, delighted to the core. We have to celebrate. I found my coin that was lost. And just like that, says Jesus, the angels of God rejoice when even one person who is distanced finds nearness. When even one of us remembers who we are and why we're here and where we're going, and comes home, allowing God to embrace us and say, "You are mine. I love you. I would search and search the whole world if I had to, even for just one." Now, Jesus told these parables as the crowd presses in around him. Crowds who embody the diversity that forms community. People who were there for whatever reason that drew them there to hear Jesus, to hear him teach, to monitor a radical, to feel included where they haven't been before. Here in the midst of such diversity, we find a group of people grumbling about what kind of people Jesus was busy finding. What kind of people Jesus was inviting to the table and eating with. These grumbling people who lived black and white, never noticing the shades of gray when it comes to reputation more than righteousness. These were religious people, sure that they themselves were safely in God's fold, safely deposited into God's change purse. Maybe they didn't realize that they too were the lost ones that God yearned to gather in her arms. Did they know that God was turning the world upside down to find tax collectors and sinners, as well as good religious people, to claim us all as God's own sheep, God's own precious coins? Because that is what God did. And that is what God is doing. It is what God can be counted on for. From the beginning, God's Spirit has been sweeping through the world and seeking people to rejoice in belonging to God, whether we deserve it or not. And in Jesus, God really did do something to turn the whole world upside down. The God of the universe came among us as human, who lived and died as one of us, stretching his arms out from the cross to welcome and to fraternize and feast with the lost and the least and the losers, even just one. God still yearns to gather us all up so that not even one more person ever feels lost, ever feels dehumanized, ever feels unloved or unworthy in the midst of all the worldly systems and laws and theologies and religion that would place a great big divider separating right and wrong, in and out, worthy and unworthy, not realizing that there is no divide where God resides. There is only the word "and" that Jesus, with parables and paradox, stands upon as he teaches us who is God's precious own. Maybe it's significant that when the woman finds the coin that has been lost, she throws a celebratory party for all her friends. Now, friends, hear the irony. The woman may be thorough and tenacious, but nobody could possibly accuse her of being miserly. She may be meticulous, but she is certainly not a wizard of home economics. She has found one coin and then spent who knows how many coins to throw a party. Is that irony? Or is that grace? If we are the coins in the story, so precious to God that even just one is worth everything, and the occasion of finding just one is cause for great celebration, then we are God's coins, and it could be argued that our lives are to be spent in the divine cause of seeking and finding and celebrating that which is God's. God doesn't just tuck us away in some safe deposit box, a heavenly coin collection waiting for our value to increase. God says, let's have a party now, with all who are here, right now, in this time and place, in our midst, in the world, gathered together around the water and the word and the bread, and the wine, even just one means everything to God. Even just one is cause for great celebration. Even just one who offers themselves to be spent for God's purpose is the currency of God's kingdom now and yet to come. In our worship this afternoon, we practice God's economics. We gather acknowledging all that we are and all that we have comes from God, belongs to God, is loved by God, can be given and offered and spent for God. We offer our time and our talents, our money, and the produce of our hands and our minds in God's service here in this place, out in the neighborhood, and in the world. I'll say it again, I love pastoral ministry. Yesterday I had the great honor of officiating an interment at the cemetery at the Heritage Church out in the Chosen. 30 friends gathered. They thought 5 of them might show up. But 30 of them, family and loved ones, stood on holy ground alongside a widow and a daughter and said goodbye to a man whose life and love are eternally interconnected with theirs. I reminded them that we are all connected, all of us, not just humankind, but all of the earth and everything in it. It is all God's. Now, I don't think that this family would consider themselves followers of Jesus. Maybe they'd be classified with the crowds of the Lucan text as sinners and tax collectors. Perhaps you wouldn't expect Jesus to be hanging out with them. They weren't exactly religious people. But I do know is that we stood together among the trees, and the wet grass and the air that still smelled like rain, and an eagle soared above us as a loved one sang and played guitar. Amazing grace. And the headstone that was so lovingly prepared was inscribed with the words, "The journey continues." Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem and is widening the net of whom he takes with him. Nobody is lost. All of us are found. Even just one, even just you, even just me, precious to God and precious here, in God's time, in God's place. Amen.